many parents may have to stop working entirely if schools don't reopen. And I think that's a good thing. We're going to talk about that today. I want to go through the financials, give you some tools to be able to calculate and determine exactly the savings. You heard me right. The savings from being a single income family and why you should really consider going down to one income. Welcome to How to Build a Tent. My name is Matt Williams. Thank you for listening to the show, subscribing on the YouTube. Really appreciate that. Thank you for everyone who gives me feedback, lets me know where how God's blessing them, how the show's blessed them. Really appreciate that. Go over to flfnetwork.com, put in HDBT, get an HDBT mug, Fight Laugh Feast shirt, $100 off our conference. That's in Nashville, October 1st through the 3rd. And you get tons of content that is only for the Fight Laugh Feast members, and you're supporting us as we proclaim the Lordship of Jesus in every area of life. I really appreciate all of you guys. Thank you so much for listening, for supporting us, praying for us, and all that good stuff. Man, do we need it more than ever. And first, I just want to say I apologize to all of you who are listening to my show yesterday, and you might have noticed that my sound was a little off. It's because I had to use my camera audio as I'm just checking to make sure I'm still recording. I recorded the show successfully. Then I went to save it, and I deleted it on accident, and I just wanted to shoot myself. Oh, my goodness. I would fire myself in a hot minute if I was reporting to myself and was responsible for recordings. Man, I mess up so much on that stuff. It's really frustrating to me. Anyways, I apologize. Hopefully, I won't do the same thing today, and you'll have a good audio experience. This article says many parents may have to stop working entirely if schools don't reopen. And I think that's a good thing. And I think this is going to be really helpful for those of you who feel maybe the need to be more involved in your kids' lives, are looking to homeschool and just invest more in your children. This is going to be really a blessing to you. There's going to be tools in this article. I'll put the article in the show notes that I'm going to go through so you can look at the graphics as I read through them. And just pray over it and think about it, because going down to a single family income is not as scary as it may seem when you include all of the factors and the drivers like taxes, savings on commuting, and all this good stuff. And I found this site, Value Penguin, and I don't really, it's by LendingTree. So LendingTree is a sponsor. That is a company I do know. And they go through, should you work or stay home with your child? And they have different links, compare potential income to childcare costs, immediate effects of becoming a stay-at-home mom or dad, long-term effects, finding the right balance. And I believe there's some tools in there where you can actually calculate your real incomes. But we're going to go through two scenarios where one is where both the mom and the dad are making $50,000 each a year. And then we're going to go through a scenario where one's making $75,000, the other one is making $25,000 a year, which would make sense if you are, you know, planning on having kids and wanting to do the right thing. You're investing. The man's probably making moves in his career that it would further his career while, sorry, I thought someone was emailing me or messaging me and thought I heard something. I didn't. And while the other, you know, maybe the wife is planning on staying home, they're not really going after their career that much. Maybe they're just doing a side job or whatnot. So we're going to go through those two scenarios here. And what they do is they are factoring in things like taxes, things like commuting, things that are other work expense related, and putting them in your savings. So let's go through this first scenario where both parents are making equal amounts of money. Before the baby, the net income of two couples making $50,000 each, their take home, that is after taxes and all those kinds of things, is $72,650. You don't have child care yet. Your commuting costs on an average $2,400. Other work expenses are $2,000 a year. So you're living on $68,250 a year. That's again, a mother and a father, husband and wife. Well, I guess it's not a mother and father yet, before baby. Husband and wife, they're making $68,250 net, factoring in the taxes and all the relevant costs that go along with working, $68,250. After the baby, both parents working, They're making $74,250. You get a little more of a tax break because you have that kid. But childcare costs $12,568 on average. Commuting costs stay the same. The other work expenses stay the same, which is totaling $4,400, which means you're living on $57,282. So having a kid in this scenario, taking the average cost, factoring taxes, childcare, and all of those things, you are having a child, basically, it costs you $11,000. You're living on $11,000 less with a baby, two parents working. Now, when you have one that stays home, when they're both making the same amount of money, it gets a little more depressing. You're making $42,000 a year, $42,600, but you don't have childcare costs, which is a savings of $12,500. And your commuting cost and your other work expenses are cut in half to $2,200. So you're living on $40,000, $17,000 less than you would if you were both working, but you have that parent, again, being at home, investing in the kid. You're able to have control over what they're learning, control over who they're playing with, control of all over all that stuff. So the difference between two incomes and one in this scenario is only a $17,000 difference, which if you were to tell me that you could pay an extra $17,000 in hypothetical cost, or you can cut your salary by $17,000 and have your spouse take care of your kid and be engaged and helping and doing all the things, just having control over what my child is learning and being with the family all day and all that good stuff, or for portions of the day, I would spend $17,000 extra on that, no doubt about it. But that was the scenario for $50,000 each parent, both parents making the equal amount. Now, in reality, usually you're making more than $50,000 if you're on a single family income. You've made some decisions in your life. You've prepared where you are able as the provider to bring in more than that. Or you can also work two jobs or three jobs or four jobs in my case. Let's see. I'm still looking at that stock market over in the back of my head, which is, it's going pretty good today. All right. The next one is $75,000 for one. Let's just say it's the father, $25,000 for the mother. The net take home of that arrangement, again, they're still making $100,000 in total. It's just that one person, we're going to say is the father, is making $75,000 instead of $50,000. And the mother is making $25,000 less at $25,000 a year instead of the $50,000 a year split we saw before. So basically, it stays the same for before the baby because it's still the total. You're filing jointly. The income is taken into account the same. You guys are both working and commuting, having the same expenses for work and commuting. And this is where it gets really interesting. So after the baby is born, both parents are still working. You still have the childcare cost. You still have the commuting cost. You still have the other expenses, which are $57,282. Or $57,282. But this is where it gets really interesting, guys. If you have a situation where the father's making $75,000, the mother's making $25,000, and that mother stays home with their kids, where you only have a $75,000 income, your take home is less, $61,142 compared to the $74,000. So that's a $13,000 difference. But look at this. You don't have to pay $12,500 for childcare anymore. And you're paying half the commuting costs. You're paying half of the work expenses. And your amount to live on, with factoring in all those opportunity costs, is you're actually making more money than if you had two incomes in your household. $58,942. Compared to, if both parents are working after the kid, $57,282. So using these averages, comparing across the nation, you would make more money on a single income single income with a child than with two incomes and a child because of daycare, because of the added cost of working. Now, this isn't true for everybody. Obviously, you're different than the average. It's an average. It's an average. So you're not going to be the average every time. You might be a little higher, might be even a little less. But just looking at the average, most people wouldn't think that when you factor in all of these expenses for you to get to work, for you to be at work, plus the childcare and all that stuff, that you're actually making more money net when you have one income household instead of two. You're making more. Now, it may not be this true in every case, but it's probably not that far off, because even though you're probably not the average, you're probably pretty close to it. You're probably pretty close to it. And so when you factor in all of those things, just from a financial perspective, we haven't even gotten to the spiritual significance yet. We haven't even gotten to the qualitative experience that your kids are going to have yet. But you could, in a lot of cases, because this is the average, so probably 50% of you will be making way more money than only $1,000. 50% of you may be making less. But even if it's break even or a little bit less than the seven, like again, in the first example, we were saying that you'd lose $17,000. I would pay for that. I would pay that in a heartbeat for my kid not to be go off into the herd of childcare. Now, think about this. If you did this, you're not just saving money financially, or maybe you're spending a little bit more money, but you are going to have control over the discipleship of your children. And I mean that in to include education, homeschooling, you know, classical conversations and all that good stuff. But it's so much more than that. You're going to be able to be there, not just during the school day of homeschooling or however you want to co-op it, maybe private school, and you want to just get involved in, you know, volunteer at your private school or whatever. Maybe you work, you know, like do some kind of on the side thing, whatever, where you're working at the school while during the kids in school. I don't know. But you are going to have control over your kids. And when we think back about the CNN, that many parents are going to have to stop working if schools don't reopen. That's public schools. And so we read that headline, and that's supposed to bring fear to us, and that's supposed to bring anxiety to us. But we don't have to fear, and we don't have to have anxiety, guys. That we can trust that God created a system where the family is responsible for the discipleship and growth of men and women to become men and women that fear God and to be educated and to provide value to themselves, their families, and the community around them. That the family can do it. And that it not just makes sense spiritually, and it doesn't just make sense from an educational perspective of your kids, but it makes sense financially when you factor in all of the things that are relevant to the decision. And again, you can look on this link. They have, I think, different calculators and different articles. You could do more research on this. I don't want you to just take my word for it. And you go and put in your earnings and go and put in the cost that you pay for commuting, for the other work expenses, childcare in your area. It might make a lot of sense, but don't also forget to factor in those taxes, because that's going to be a big thing as well for you to consider. And now I want to add one more benefit to this. In fact, see, even if you don't send your kids to public school, you still have to pay property taxes that pay for public schools. Imagine if a majority of parents that this article is threatening did this very thing, stayed home with their kids, pulled them out of public school, homeschooled, private school, did whatever they needed to do to educate and take ownership of their children. If a majority of them do that, then we could remove a lot of these taxes that were funding these schools that are indoctrinating them in a false religion of the state. So not only would you be benefiting your child, but in mass, exponentially, if we did the math and we understood the finances and we understood the spiritual significance and we understood the qualitative experiences that our kids are going to have being at home, being able to be with family and to be able to see their parent, to be able to have someone that's going to devote to them the attention that they were created to have of a loving parent instead of a hired worker to take care of them. If we did that at an exponential level, then public schools would be rendered ineffective, or they would be removed, that they wouldn't be needed. They'd be obsolete is the word I was looking for. And that is how we can make change. That is how we can stop sending our kids to Caesar. That is how we can stop getting other kids to be sent to Caesar. That's how we can stop paying for it. And then you're going to get a further financial benefit from this, because you're going to be taxed less because you won't have all those payroll taxes, or those property taxes. Excuse me. I might have said payroll taxes earlier. I meant property tax. There are immense blessings to obeying God. We just have to obey. We'll talk to you tomorrow. God bless.